Now, let's start our, with verse 1. We're going to read the first 14 verses. I'm the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. By the way, that means he owns it. Okay? Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. That means stay attached. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Man, there's so much in there I could preach. And I don't have time. There's so much I could preach. There's so much in there could be preached. The vine, the branches, abiding. Basically, that part, he's saying, look, I have produced you, and now you need to produce. And if you abide in me, if you stick with me, you will produce. And one of the things, the one I'm going to preach on today, is verse 11. One of the things that will be produced is verse 11. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. There's two kinds of joy there. He said, my joy might remain in you, the joy of Jesus Christ being in you. And in your joy, the joy that comes to you naturally. And today I want to talk about joy. Now, I looked up that word. I'm from Lancaster. I was educated in South Carolina schools. So in Michigan, they say we're ignorant. So I have to get my dictionary out every once in a while. So I got my dictionary out, and I looked up that word, joy. I looked it up. And you know what it said, Brother Billy? Exactly what my South Carolina education taught me. A very glad feeling, or a feeling of delight. A feeling of delight. A very glad, not just a glad feeling, but a very glad feeling. Not happiness, but a very glad feeling. He said there in verse 11, I've spoken to you that my joy might remain in you, and your joy might be what? Full. He said, I don't want you just to have joy. I want you to have complete joy. I want it to be full joy. I want to fill up your bucket. People don't talk like that anymore, Brother Mike. They used to say, I went to church there and I got my bucket full. Amen? And I got my cup full. My cup runneth over. Amen? But that's what he's saying. He's saying, now look, I birthed you. You stick with me. And I'm not just going to give you joy, but I'm going to give you my joy and your joy. And you'll have fullness of joy, full joy, complete joy. Now, I don't know what you think, but I believe, no matter where I go in this town, no matter who I talk to, if they're in their right mind, everyone would say, I would love to have joy. I would love to be joyful. Amen? We went to a wedding yesterday. And thankfully, they don't know all the future. They were joyful. Amen. They were joyful. And he's got a lot to learn. But right now, they were very full of joy. They enjoy. And by the way, the people there had joy. They were happy to see them get married. Amen. And so everybody wants joy. Why do you think a guy's pushing a needle in his arm right now? He's hunting something. He's hunting the fullness of joy. Why do you think some gal drinking a pint of vodka right now? She's looking for something. She's looking for something that will give her joy. Why do you think some guy's marrying his fourth wife today? He's looking for joy. He's looking for something that'll give him fullness of joy. Amen. Why do you think that Myrtle Beach, they have to keep building buildings down there? Because people keep flocking down there. They're looking for joy. Why do you think we was up in Asheville moving charity up that way this past week? The place is packed. Last time I was up there, it was in the 80s. There was hardly anybody there. Now it's traffic jams. People are moving there looking for something to give them joy. Amen? I go to church because it makes me joyful. I read the Bible because it makes me joyful. I pray because it makes me joyful. I do good works because it makes me joyful. We're really selfish, self-centered people, and we want joy because joy gives us joy. Amen? So therefore, I want to show you how to have fullness of joy all the time. Fullness of joy. Now, he said, I came, and one of the reasons I came was to give you fullness of joy, that your joy may be full. Now, I asked myself this question. I talked to myself. Maybe you don't. I get some good answers. Look at Psalm 51. I said, Ron, why is it important to have joy? Why is it important to have joy? As a Christian, now not a lost person, but as a Christian, why? Psalm 51, look at verse 12 and 13. Restore, this is David talking now, after he had sinned. Restore unto me the what? Joy of my what? Of thy what? Salvation. And uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be what? Converted unto thee. Now I need joy. As a Christian, I need it. As a Sunday school teacher, I need it. As a preacher, I need it. As a witness, I need it. Why? Because it's important in winning people to Jesus Christ. Why would they want what I've got if I've looked like I've got the flu all the time? Amen. Some people, I say, how you feeling? They say, I feel great. I said, you ought to notify your face every once in a while. My granddaughter, when she was little, crawled up on me and said, Papa, you got all kind of wrinkles right there. I said, that's smile wrinkles. Amen. Watch out when people don't have any wrinkles. Amen. A lot of them got these wrinkles. Amen. Listen, I need joy to do what God saved me to do. You need God to do what God... you need joy to do what God saved you to do. Listen, you got a family. You can't afford to be miserable in your salvation. Those children need a living testimony. You've got to have the joy of the Lord. Amen. You've got to have it. You're going to teach Sunday school. You've got to have the joy of the Lord. If you're going to preach, you've got to have the joy of the Lord. If you're going to win that husband to the Lord, you've got to have the joy of the Lord. If you're going to win that lost wife, you've got to have the joy of the Lord. If you're going to be a good testimony on the job, you've got to have the joy of the Lord. Listen, you've got to have joy or nobody's going to want what you got. One of the reasons I didn't get saved till I was 20-something years old, I didn't see any happy Christians. They look miserable, man. Why would I want to be any more miserable than I already was? I didn't want to adopt another misery. I had enough on my own. Amen? And now look, it is important as Christians, and I assume most of you are believers, you wouldn't even be in church today. Very seldom do sinners go to church on Sunday unless a believer brings them. And so therefore, I'm talking to mostly Christians, you need the joy of the Lord. Your children are too important not to have it. Your neighbor's too important not to have it. Your co-worker's too important not to have it. Some of you folks, if we went to you on your job, everybody down there thinks you're the most sour one there. Come on. Say amen or oh me. Listen, you've got to have it. It's important. Look, not only that, it's important in bearing our burdens and living a Christian life. Now, we all have burdens. Don't you sit there and act like you don't have a burden. If you're over 10, 12 years old, you've got a burden. Amen. You've got some burdens. And the older you get, the more you accumulate. Help me. And boy, we got some burdens, don't we? And if the joy of the Lord is our strength, as the Bible says, we need the joy of the Lord to carry these burdens we've got. Everybody in this room lays down at night, and usually most of us, before you go to bed, you start thinking about stuff that'll keep you awake all night, and we call that a burden. Amen? Amen. Every one of you in this room, when you go to pray, there's stuff on your heart right now that you've been praying for over and over and over and over and over. And listen, that's called a burden, and we need the joy of the Lord to carry us through that.
Amen. Come on.
Yeah. Lost people don't have any joy. They don't even have artificial joy. Now, it's important. If we're going to live a Christian life and we're going to keep going, and I'll testify for this lady right here. I can't remember her name, but y'all behave. She works for the police department. But she probably knows some of your names. But she didn't realize it till our Bible study. Some of y'all just catching on. She didn't realize it till the other night our Bible study, and I heard that she finally realized she didn't have to keep herself saved. God keeps her saved. Is that right? And that gave you the victory, didn't it? Amen. Gave you joy, didn't it? Amen. Now, we've got to have the joy of the Lord in order to make it in this Christian life that we call our lives. Amen. Now, so that's my answer. It's important because we need it to win the lost. It's important because we need it to raise our families. It's important because we need it to teach, to preach, to serve. And it's important because we just simply need it to live our daily lives. We need the joy of the Lord. You can't make this stuff up. Now, the joy of Jesus is eternal. It's continually. Look at John chapter 15, verse 11 again. Now, y'all wanted all that singing, so don't get mad at me. You have joy when you go out here late today. Look at verse 11. He said that my joy might remain in you. He said that my joy might remain in you. Now, his joy is eternal. Now, I don't care who it is. If you're saved by the grace of God today, I don't care what you're going through. When you get talking about how the Lord found you, He sought you, He found you, He paid for your sins, He saved you by His marvelous grace, and He's kept you ever since, I don't care what you're going through in this life, the joy of the Lord will come up when you start talking about that stuff. No matter how bad your life is right now, you're talking about how He came down that day and He rescued you and He drug you out of the pits of hell itself, man. Pulled your feet out of the fire, the joy of the Lord start coming up. Could it be we're just not talking about it enough is the reason we don't realize it's always there. His is eternal. The joy of the Lord is eternal. It doesn't go away. Now, we have joy on our own. You got a little joy because you got you a new car. Whoopee! It's gone next week when the smell's gone. Y'all like the smell of a new car? You can buy that in a bottle now and spray it in the old car. You can have joy every time you get in that 1990 Chevrolet. Smell like new leather, man. But that's temporary. That's temporary. His joy is forever. You get saved, I guarantee you get born again and you'll never lose that joy every time you remember that day, every time you talk about it, every time you think about it, the joy of the Lord just bubble up. John 17:13. Look at it with me. He said in verse 13, "And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves." Now, listen. Joy fulfilled through Him. Eternal. Through an eternal person. From an eternal glory. Timeless. Limitless. It never runs out. Somebody told me one time, I said, "You ever been saved?" "Yeah, I tried that. That didn't last long." You didn't get His joy. His is eternal. His is everlasting. Came from an eternal place.
Yes.
Now, What's the difference between happiness and joy? I asked myself. Well, happiness depends on what happens. That's where the word happiness comes from. Happen, happiness. So it depends on what's happening to decide whether or not you're going to be happy. It's kind of cosmetic. You have to make that stuff up for the moment. There's people right now down at Myrtle Beach, and they're up at the mountains, and they're everywhere else, and they're, hey, they got some happiness right now. They just started their vacation. Next Saturday, they're going to be riding home and going to be some of the illest, most miserable people you ever met in your life. Amen. You ever notice that? By the time you go home from vacation, you're so ill. Traffic, you're Christian cussing. Idiot. Maniac. That one that won't get out of the way. Idiot. The one that just passed you. Maniac! Happiness depends upon the circumstances. Why do you think they make Las Vegas so shiny and pretty? Now, it's more about dealing with the outward person. Brother Ron, how does this one feel? How does this? That's what happiness is about, dealing with the flesh. Making the flesh please for the moment. Joy depends on the Lord. Joy goes from outward to the inward man. The outward man can have no happiness and the inward man still have the joy full of glory. Amen. Amen. That's what Paul said. The outward man's dying every day. But the inward man's being renewed every day. And this inward man, boy, you go to the hospital and somebody's dying of cancer, and you go over there and you feel sorry for them, and you take them by the hand, you say, man, I feel so sorry for you, we've been praying for you, and she looks up at you and says, don't feel sorry for me, I'm on my way to glory, I see the face of Jesus, I'm not scared to die. Amen. That's joy. See, now the flesh is not happy, but the inside is very happy. I went to see my sister Judy after they put her in the nursing home. You know, Judy was slow and she couldn't talk plain. And I went in there, and it was about the second time, you know, they took her out of the hospital and put her in the nursing home for hospice. And she was sitting in there in a wheelchair, and she was always sleepless. I woke her up, and I woke her up, and I said, hey, Judy, how you doing? She said, oh, hey, Wani, did you hear? I said, what? She said, I'm going to see Jesus. They told me I'm going to see Jesus. They told me I'm going to die. I said, I ain't going to die. I'm going to see Jesus. 2 days later, she went to see Jesus. She was sitting in a wheelchair. Couldn't walk. Barely could read or write. Couldn't talk plain. And she was happy because she was going to die. Amen? Go and see Jesus. Amen? That's inward joy. That's not outward happiness. The old flesh was saying you can't walk. The flesh was saying you're dying. The doctors felt sorry for her. The nurses didn't want to talk about it. But she said, I'm going to see Jesus with a smile. And that's joy. That's joy. I wonder when most of us get to that time, how much of us will really have joy. Amen? Joy is not subtracting life's problems. Joy is not taking away all our problems. If it was, we'd never have joy. You get rid of one problem, there's coming another one. Man's days are few and full of trouble. Like Job said, those sparks that fly upward, you know, that's the way our days are, few and full of trouble. Boy, I just got over that mountain you're going down, and boy, I'm up here on the mountaintop, you know, but while you're up there, might as well get used to it because you're fixing to go down into the valley again. Then you're coming up, and you say, boy, I'm glad I made it through that one. Yeah, but there's a valley on the other side of that mountain, too. There's always a burden to carry. There's always a heartache. There's always disappointment. You're in a sin-cursed world. You will not have joy dependent on this. Amen? But you know what? Joy is an additional power to meet the problem. Amen. Think about that. I can have the joy of the Lord, and the doctor can come to me tomorrow and say, you're going to live 6 months a miserable, low, slow, painful death, and you're going to die. And I can look at him and say, yeah, but then I wake up in glory. I'll close my eyes in your bed, doc, but I'll wake them up in glory. Amen? Joy gives you ability to go through those problems. Amen? Amen. Somebody says, well, I lost a loved one. No, you're just going to meet them later. The joy of the Lord say, I lost them for now, but I know where they're at, and I'm going to meet them later. Amen? Oh man, y'all don't get it. I wish some of you did. It's more, that joy gives you the strength and the power to go through those problems. Verse 15, he's talking about abiding. Look at John 16:20, real quick. John 16:20. Now, he's talking about abiding. Now, in John 16:20, look at this verse real quick. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Now, listen. Listen to this. If you'll just be steadfast in your sorrow, you can keep your joy. What you saying, preacher? Abide in me. Abide in the vine. You're the branch. Stick to the vine. As long as you abide in Him, no matter what the sorrow is, you can still have joy in the midst of that sorrow.
Amen.
Amen. You know what? Some of you young people don't know what a pleasure it is to suffer sometimes. Amen. Yeah. Wait a minute, preacher. You said suffering. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of times, you don't experience the joy until you've had a problem.
Amen.
And then God brings you through it, and you get the victory, and you've got the joy of the Lord. Amen? Amen. But you got to have a problem before you can get through it. And some of you young people, you avoid every little problem. You're scared to death to walk up a hill. You're afraid you'll get tired out. Amen? Bunch of look, the Christian life is sometimes it's work, and you have to work your way through some things, and then the sun comes up, and then the joy explodes. Amen?
Amen.
2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 4. Billy, you still with me?
Amen.
Was it upside down?
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hey. Amen. Hallelujah. Upside down says hallelujah. Amen. It made me lose my place. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 4. He says, great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glory in you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our... Can anybody read me that last word? I am exceeding... Wait a minute. That must be a misprint. We need to get a New American Standard Bible. We need to get a New International Bible. No, you got the right Bible. You just ain't reading it. Amen? He said, exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. Did you know that there's triumph in tribulation? You want to know why some of you will never win at track? You young people, you'll never win at a track meet. You know why? You ain't never joined the team yet. You never run the race. Amen? You'll never have the feeling of getting one of those long shot swoosh baskets. You know, all net, no rim. Some of y'all don't even know what that means. But you'll never have that feeling. You know why? You won't shoot.
Amen. Come on.
You'll never have the feeling, the joy of serving the Lord because you won't serve Him. And you'll never have the joy of knowing what it is to go through some tribulation and come out on the other side because you refuse tribulation.
Amen.
Anything causes you a little pain, you avoid it. Anything makes you a little bit uncomfortable, you avoid it. Anything that might cause you to have a little tear, you avoid it. And you go through this life and you don't have the joy of the Lord, you have no feelings at all. You still with me? Tribulation brings triumph. Tribulation brings joy. You know why I can laugh and kid and go on about growing up poor? Because I grew up poor. Amen? You know why in Sunday school I can talk about poor people look at the ground but they don't see nothing but dirt, and some people look at the ground, they see beans and taters? Because I've done it. And you know, those people will never have the joy of a job well done because they avoid everything. They don't want any pain. They don't want any trial. They don't want any tribulation. And tribulation in the end does bring hope. And hope's not shame. I can have joy in my tribulation because God ain't never let me down the first time. And He always brings me through. And when He gets me through, I look back on it and say, I needed that. Thank You, Lord, for that tribulation. Thank You for that trial. Thank You for that heartache. Thank You for that pain. I needed that, God. And You never left me and You never forsook me. And the reason He didn't, He said, because You abided in me and You stuck with me, so I stuck with You. There's so many people now on the trash pile of this world out there somewhere right now. I used to go to church. I used to sing in the choir. I used to go to Sunday school. I used to teach Sunday school. I used to preach. And you know what happened? A little tribulation come along and they weren't willing to have a little pain, so they sat down, they quit. Doesn't mean they're not saved. It just means they'll never know the joy of what would have happened if they'd kept on going. It's abounding. Joy's abounding there in verse 11. It's abounding. You know what abounding means? Abounding, look, abounding means a whole bunch of it. And it's abiding. You know what abiding means? It never leaves. It sticks with you. And it'll be with you in sorrow. Hey, it'll be with you in tribulation. It'll be with you in affliction. And then, not only that, it's abundant. You know what abundant means? It just keeps pouring in. It's abundant. That means it's more than you're going to need.
Amen.
It's abundant. It's more than you're going to need. And so in John 15, Jesus is talking about the relationship between the vine and the branches. And in order to have His abundant joy, you've got to learn how to abide in Him. Not church. Not the baptismal pool. Not a profession of faith walking down the aisle signing a card, but abiding in Jesus Christ, sink or swim, hell or high water. I'm hanging on to Him because He's hanging on to me. I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up. I'm not backing up because He's promised to bless me. And if you'll do that, He'll give you a bunch of joy. Amen?
Amen.
Well, how do you do that, preacher? How do you stay with Him? How do you stick with Him? Now, don't get me wrong. You don't have to do anything to be saved or to stay saved. He does that. But if you want the joy of the Lord, there's some things you're going to have to do.
Amen.
That's a reward for some things, okay? And so how do I do it? John 15 again. There in John chapter 15, it's 1 minute till 12. The Methodists are saying the final hallelujahs. The Presbyterians are lined up. The Baptist is on point number 2. John chapter 15. Billy said Wednesday night we're going to have a vote or something on that long-winded preacher. John 15. Some of you ain't coming back tonight anyway. I need to load you up while you're here. John 15. Look at verse 4. Abide in me and I in you as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Okay, we got a grapevine right here. Well, we're in the south. It's a muscadine vine. Muscadine vine, okay? And there's a branch, right? Right? There's a branch. There's a big old muscadine on that thing. If it didn't have so many seeds, I'd eat it. But you take that. There's the vine. Let's break this branch off. And let's lay it over here. It's broke off. There's the vine. Over there lays a branch. What's that branch going to do? Nothing. It's going to wither up and die. And you're going to burn it. You're going to burn it. It's useless. But you keep that. Hey, you are the branch. There's a Burgess right there. That's a Burgess. As long as he stays attached to that vine, he's going to be fine. Amen?
Amen?
Matter of fact, he's going to be so fine, he's going to produce more fruit. Somebody said it this morning.
Sister Earnhardt talked about planting potato eyes. Some of y'all didn't even know potatoes had eyes. You need an education. How many of y'all don't know potatoes got eyes? I ain't talking about Mr. Potato Head either. There was one I saw her raise that hand. Hazel said, don't you show your ignorance, granddaughter. Listen. You get a potato put in the pantry and you don't eat it long enough, it'll start sprouting little things. We call those eyes. She said, I couldn't eat them, so I said, I'll plant them. So she planted them and they produce what? More potatoes. Because they stuck to the vine. Amen. She went out there and started pulling up that potato. And she said she pulled up a whole pot full of taters. Taters. Can I say taters? We're on the video or something. Maybe I should say potato. Listen. You must stay close to Jesus Christ. Amen. You must. Well, I quit going to church because it's full of hypocrites. Yeah, I'm listening to one.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, I got hurt. They nailed him to a cross. Amen. Well, somebody offended me. Well, you're going to get offended about something. You're either too fat, too skinny, you got buck teeth, no teeth, rotten teeth, you're cross-eyed, you're near-sighted, you're far-sighted. Everybody gets offended about something. And if they offended me about loving Jesus Christ, hallelujah anyhow. Amen. Stay in it. Stay on Him. Stay close to Him. Well, so total surrender, that's how you do it. You've got to surrender to the Lord. You've got to stay attached to the branch. You've got to. The vine's no good if it doesn't stay attached. Are y'all still with me?
Amen.
I thought maybe I was getting too complicated for some of you. Listen, and then look at chapter 15 again. Look at verse 5. He said, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, I in him the same, bring forth much fruit, fruitful. Without me, ye can do nothing. You know what he's saying? You've got to depend on me. You've got to depend on me. Now, look, you can't depend on the preacher. I love you. I love you to death. I'll do anything I can. But it's not your religion to depend on the pastor. Y'all with me? Look, you can't depend on your mom and your daddy. They love you, but they can't be your savior. You can't depend on your husband, your wife. They probably love you, but they can't save you. They can't bless you. They can't keep you. You've got to depend on Him. Draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to thee. Some people have a little trouble. They get away from the Lord and all it's going to do is get bigger. And then I'm about through. It's 4 minutes after. The Methodists are already at the fish camp. The Lutherans is over there. I ain't going to say nothing. Look at John 15, verse 9. Look at verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. You know what you got to do? After you learn how to depend on Him and nothing else, then you rest in Him. You just rest. I tell people, they think I'm trying to be funny. I'm not trying to be funny. If I die and go to hell, they're going to have to air condition it. I have put it all on Him. I am completely trusting Jesus Christ and nothing else. Hey, there's nothing else that will save me. There's nothing else that will keep me. There's nothing else that will satisfy me. There's nothing else that's going to give me the joy that He can give me. I'm putting it all on Him. If I die and go to hell, somebody lied. Amen. And He can't lie. Titus 1:2 says, God, He cannot lie. And I have, Michael, I have put it all on Him. It's not me. I'm going to draw up close as I can to that vine. And then I'm just going to lean on the vine. That branch don't do a stinking thing. It's just there. What's the branch do? It takes the nourishment from that vine. It just takes the nourishment. I don't have it in me. It's Him. It's all Him. And let me just go ahead and shock some of you. Either He is your Lord or He's not Lord at all.
Amen. Come on.
He's your Lord. He's everything to you, or He's not your Lord at all. He doesn't want you to be halfway on the vine sometimes and halfway not other times. He wants it all. And so therefore, rest in Him. No matter what my life turns out to be, it's going to be trust in Him and nothing else. Amen. Now look, we don't produce the joy, we just bear it. I'm going to show you something. Some of you misunderstand this verse. It's my last verse, I think. Galatians 5:22. Some people think that He tells us to bear fruit. We just read that. Some people think that what I'm fixing to read you is the fruit that we produce. It is not. This is what He produces, living in you. The fruit you produce is other Christians who in all the world preach the gospel, make disciples. Now, the fruit He produces is spiritual. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I'll go back and read it later. But look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. What's that next word? Peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Now, here's what you got to do. You need to quit trying to produce joy. Quit trying to work it up. Myrtle Beach is not going to give it to you. The Blue Ridge Parkway ain't going to give it to you. Dollywood ain't going to give it to you. Disney World, Land, whatever else they got, not going to give it to you. Now, there's nothing wrong with those things if you do them right. But that, quit trying to produce joy and look to Him for your joy. Here's what you do. You just receive His joy. Amen. And then you confess it. Just like when you got saved. John 1:12, but as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. These are fruits of the Spirit. They're not your fruits. And what you need to do is quit trying to produce His fruit. His fruit is joy in you. Amen? And receive. Say, Lord, I want that joy. I need that joy. And You said that it's a fruit of Your Spirit, and You live in me, so I'm just going to walk in joy. I'm going to look for joy everywhere I go, and in every situation. I'm going to expect the joy of the Lord. I'm going to expect You to comfort me. I'm going to expect You to encourage me. I'm going to expect You to do it because it's fruit of Your Spirit, not my spirit. I can't make joy. Now, you don't produce joy. You get it by obedience. You get it by obedience. He said that obeying His word produces joy. And well, the first thing you do is you receive the joy that He's already given you. And you confess it. And you just obey what He tells you to do. You remember when you was a kid, some of y'all can't remember that far back, but I'm only 63. I know I look 43, but I can remember when I was a kid. And I didn't have a father. What you laughing at? Listen. I didn't have a father. So I had a mother I wanted to please double. My mama had some high expectations for this little old bony boy. She thought I was going to be the best one she had, last of nine. She had high expectations. She'd tell people. She'd say, Ronnie's the smartest one I got. She said, Ronnie's going to be the first one to finish high school. And Ronnie's going to do this. And Ronnie's going to do that. And listen, wife, listen to this. Surprise some of you. It disappointed me when I didn't please my mama. It hurt me. And did you know there were some things I wouldn't do? I drew some lines that other people were doing that I wouldn't do because I knew if I ever did that, my mama found out, it'd kill her. It'd kill her. There's some things I didn't do. She drew those lines because I wanted to please my mama. And you know, when I got saved, the Lord Jesus Christ adopted me into His family. And I love Him so much, I want to obey Him. And did you know when I disobeyed my mama, and a lot of times my mama didn't even know it, and I was disappointed in myself when it was all over that I had disappointed my mama and she didn't even know it. Because I loved her. And I knew obeying her was a sign of love. Now we get the joy when we receive it. We get joy when we obey God. And did you know what? All of that obedience and all that receiving and all that dependence and all that surrender, that will produce joy. It'll make it. Now, I know a lot of you grew up in church and you adopted religion and you don't see any joy in it. Because you have religion, you don't have the joy unspeakable and full of glory that I got the day I received my Savior. I know some of you, you got baptized, you thought that was salvation, and that baptism did not give you joy, but just for a minute, because you felt so proud of yourself. But I didn't get that. I knew I was saved and going to heaven before I even knew what baptism was.
Amen.
And I know some of you feel real good about the way you live. You don't drink liquor, you don't smoke dope. But there's a lot of Muslims do that. And they don't have the joy of the Lord. I want to know, do you really have the joy of the Lord today? Is there something deep inside of you, the Spirit of God, that no matter what, trial, tribulation, temptation, failure, whatever, the joy of the Lord's still there when you start talking about Him and what He's done? All of a sudden you're receiving the joy again and start bubbling out. Amen? That's a whole lot different than religion. Jesus will save you, religion will bug you. I wrote this down, and I want to say it right because it just struck me. K-N-O-W, you know Jesus, you'll know joy unspeakable. N-O, Jesus, know Jesus in your life, and you will not know real joy. You say, well, preacher, I'm saved, but I've lost my joy. Look to Him, it'll come. Preacher, I'm going through a hard time and I don't see anything to be joyful about. Your name's still written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He's still saving you. He's still keeping you. He's still going to present you faultless before His presence with exceeding joy. Just look to Him. I don't have the feelings. That's why it's called faith. The feelings will come later. Right now, by faith, you just keep going. By faith, you keep trusting. By faith, you keep looking for that sun to come up in the morning and the joy of the Lord to bubble up in your soul before it's over with. I promise you. Now, if you don't have any joy, you probably don't have Jesus. Some of you young people probably need to get saved. This world's not going to give you joy. It's going to give you heartache and disappointment. And listen, if you let it, it'll destroy any joy you might have. You need to run up here today and say, I need what He's talking about. Let's stand. Father, thank You for the Word of God.